So today we have this beautiful gospel reading, which is commonly referred to as the Beatitudes. It's the beginning of Jesus's Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's gospel. It's kind of the prologue, in a way, to the Sermon on the Mount, much in the same way that John's prologue begins John's gospel reading, gospel writing, I should say. And it's all about blessedness, beatitude, blessed. It's one of those readings, much like so many that we hear in this lectionary cycle that we have, that we've probably heard many times, maybe in this church, maybe in other places, maybe it's just sort of in the common, out there in the culture, the Beatitudes, the blessings. There are eight of them in this short little passage. And I think that perhaps we've heard them so many times that we just don't really hear them. So I'd like to go through all eight one by one with you this morning and see if what I have to say resonates with you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is telling us here that if you feel that you are poor in spirit, if you feel like you're not maybe worthy of God's love because somehow you feel deficient in your spirituality, Jesus is telling us here you don't have to be a spiritual giant in order to receive God's blessing. Remember the mustard seed. Remember that it only takes a little bit of faith to change your life and to change the world. And Jesus is saying that, you know, if you don't feel spiritual or faithful enough, you are blessed. No exceptions. You're blessed, a blessed human being, worthy to receive God's love. And this emphatically undercuts what is commonly referred to these days as the prosperity gospel, which says that if you're righteous enough, you're going to be rewarded with material blessings in this life. Jesus is saying that's not how it works. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And those who mourn, Jesus is saying here that if you've lost someone or something that is very dear to you, and that you are experiencing grief or mourning and everything that comes along with that experience, you are blessed. You will be comforted. He's not saying, hey, get over it. It's all part of God's plan. It's not quite that simple and easy. Because we all mourn at some point in our lives. If you have never mourned, or if you're not mourning right now, someday you're going to be. And he says you will eventually be comforted. You will be held. You will be held up. You've got to go through it. You can't go around it. You're blessed. You will be comforted. You will come out on the other side, changed, bruised, and blessed. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Okay, who usually gets ahead in this world? It's certainly not the meek. It's the loud, the brash, the people with power, be that economic power, political power, social power, the influencers. It's certainly not the meek who get ahead in the world. It's the bold, the loud, and the forceful. But Jesus is not telling us here to make ourselves small. He's telling us to be gentle, to be kind, to have a little humility. Blessed are the meek. You are blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Okay, but what does righteousness really mean? It means getting right with God and somehow aligning ourselves with God's plan for the world. I don't like the word plan. Let's say God's will for the world. I like to think of it as God's dream for the world. And what is that? Well, people have been trying to discern that ever since there have been people, right? What is the will of God? What is the will of God for the world? What is the will of God for me, for you, each one of us personally? We have a history of how smart, spiritual, God-inspired people have grappled with this important question for millennia, at least 1,000 years before Jesus showed up on the scene. We call that the Old Testament. We call that the Hebrew Scriptures, which is this beautiful, long compilation of different books that describe how the Israelites, the Hebrews, the Jewish people were trying to discern what God's will was in the world. And when we read through these Hebrew Scriptures, we hear an evolution of thought about this, about who is God, what does God want from me, what does God want for the world? And it's not only the history of a people, it's also the history of an understanding of who God is and therefore who we are. But one through line in this whole long narrative of the history of the Jews and of the history of their understanding of God, the one strong through line is God's love of justice. Justice for the downtrodden, justice for the forgotten, justice for the widows and orphans, justice for the outsider, for those ground down and persecuted by unjust rulers, unjust religious and political systems of power. I believe that we are all already blessed. You want even more blessing? Jesus says, hunger and thirst for justice for all. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Now, does this somehow sound like it's in conflict with the blessing right before? Seek justice, seek righteousness. How do mercy and justice, how are they integrated? How are they combined? They're not two opposing stances, not two opposing ways of being. We're asked to be merciful. And even asking that question, how do mercy and justice fit together, kind of points to the fact that we tend to think of them as in conflict. And they're not. Jesus pairs them up side by side right here. Justice and mercy. And Jesus is telling us they're not in conflict. They have to be integrated. We can't have one without the other. You are blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. This gets right to the heart of the matter. doesn't it? Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, I'm sure that you have heard all of us who preach from this stance here at St. John's talk about how challenging sometimes it is for we good Episcopalians, we good 21st century postmodern people to get the heck out of our heads and get into our hearts. I don't think it's quite that easy either, because much like justice and mercy, we have both. We have these brilliant rational minds, and we have these soft, fleshy, strong, embodied hearts, which is where God resides for us. God resides both places. So the journey is not strictly from the head to the heart. The journey is a circular journey, in and out, finding that love, mercy, justice, all of these blessings that are inherent in every single one of us, and somehow integrating that with our minds, with our voices, with our actions in the world. Blessed are the peacemakers. For they will be called children of God. This is an encouragement, isn't it? It's an encouragement to work for peace in the world. This is also an indictment of those who work to sow war, to sow fear, to sow conflict, disharmony. I hear it as a call not to shut up and let the warmongers have their way, but to use our voices to speak truth always in the face of power, to work for peace even and especially when peace looks like a lost cause, like a place we might never get to. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Again, a call to justice and mercy, and the recognition on Jesus' part that those who follow his teachings, those who follow his way of life, those who try to embody a Christ-like attitude in the world will be persecuted. Persecution is pretty easy these days. Take a look at your Facebook. Take a look at your Instagram and see who is persecuting whom. There's a lot of persecution on both sides of the aisle these days. But I think what Jesus is saying to us here is, look, if you are going to be merciful, if you're going to mourn, if you're going to seek justice and mercy and truth in the world, somebody is not going to like that. So gird up your loins and be strong and be brave and be prepared when you speak truth. Powerful people, political and religious systems of domination might well hate you for speaking truth, for living lives that follow Jesus' path. They may hate you for living lives, Christ-like lives. They may even kill you. They killed Jesus for it. You are blessed. And I love that Jesus tells us that 8 times in one short, beautiful piece of wisdom here, that we are blessed. And I love that he brings us these blessings from a seat on a mountain. It's an echo of Moses going up to the mountaintop and bringing back 10 commandments. Right? Thou shalt and thou shalt not. The law. That shows us one side of God. That shows us the side of God who is a rule maker and a giver of law. Jesus is bringing us another message today, and he's not calling them commandments. He's calling them blessings. And much like justice and mercy, these aren't two different gods we're talking about here. This is one God who embodies both. Embodies the lawgiver and embodies the blesser. And I think that when we get caught up in this idea that contraries are opposites and not two aspects of the same God and of the same humanity, we're always coming from our heads when we can't integrate these contraries. But I think where we can integrate them and must integrate them is in our hearts. So bless our little hearts. That's what Jesus is saying here 8 times. Bless your little hearts. Amen.